1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now watch this, verse 14. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Now this is Paul writing. I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. So he wasn't baptized in the name of Paul. He was no doubt baptized in Matthew 28, says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, verse 16, and I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Now this is an important verse, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now let me ask you a question. Here's the greatest apostle that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. If you had to be baptized in order to be saved, do you not think that the Apostle Paul would have come to baptize? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul would lead someone to Christ and then say, I'm not going to baptize you? Well, I think if you had to be baptized, Paul would say, let's get him in the water and get him baptized immediately. But Paul says here, he says, Christ did not send me to baptize. He says, but to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when they asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Didn't say you had to be baptized. Over and over and over again in the New Testament, it says we must believe on Christ, place our hope, our trust on Christ, his death, burial, resurrection. It does not say we have to be baptized in order to be saved. Baptism is important. Baptism is good. Biblically, baptism always follows salvation, but baptism never is required for salvation. I just think this is a good illustration. I think if you had to be baptized to be saved, or if baptism saved you, surely Paul would have come to baptize. But he says here, I did not come to baptize. It says, I did not come with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So Paul is saying, I came with a humble spirit. I did not come to baptize. I think it is important to recognize that we must help one another. That when Jesus got down and washed the feet of the disciples, he demonstrated we are servant one to another. And one person here is not above another, that we are all servants one to another. I think it's important to recognize you have different customs, different cultures, different dress, but when you know Christ as Savior, our hearts are alike. Amen? That the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but when you receive Christ as Savior, you're washed with the blood of Christ, and you have a heart of a Christian person, and you have been forgiven. But obviously here, even though forgiven, even though saved, they were immature, and that they were arguing about who they were going to follow, Paul, Cephas, whoever. Okay, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Preaching the cross is foolish, and to a lot of unsaved people, it's unattractive. I had a man say to me once, he said, you know, he said, you have a slaughterhouse religion. You know why? That is exactly right. Christ was slaughtered on the cross. He was bloodied. He was beaten. He was spit upon, and he bled, and he died. And that's not attractive to an intellectual world. That's not attractive to the natural man. You see, the natural man, the unsaved man, likes the idea that, you know what? I am good. I am going to earn my salvation. And through my intellect and through my good works, I'm going to earn my way to heaven. The intellectual sees himself as rising up. I've evolved from whatever type of animal they want to choose. I've evolved from that, and I've worked my way all the way up here, and now I've reached the point that I am good enough, I've done enough, that I deserve heaven. But that is exactly what the Bible does not teach. The Bible teaches that we are sinners deserving an eternal hell. The carnal mind, the unsaved mind, believes that God should save those that are good. And they've earned it, or they've been baptized, that type of thing. Does that make sense? The intellectual doesn't like to think that they're going to have to trust Jesus Christ on a bloody cross, suffering and dying for them. So it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is an honest testimony, but when I started preaching, I was 31, 32, 33, 34 years old. I was always genuinely interested and a little bit amazed that people came back. I mean, really, I was like, they came back. This verse says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses preaching. As you preach to someone, you witness to them, you share Christ with them, you're preaching to them. And it pleases God to use that preaching to win people to Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. To the Jews, they wanted, and they were looking for, the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah to come in on a white horse and be the king and the leader, the ruler, a theocracy. He's going to rule the world. He's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. They were looking for the king. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came in on a donkey. He let them take him to Calvary. He was beaten and whipped and bruised and bloodied and taken to the cross and suffered and died a criminal's death. A cross is a criminal's death. So he was a stumbling block to them. That's not what they wanted. They wanted a king. They wanted the Messiah to be the king. Verse 24, it says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, look at verse 25. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. I want to show you a verse. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. I believe the Bible, obviously, is the greatest book that's ever been written. It was correct 2,000 years ago. It's correct today. It hasn't had to be changed. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were unlearned and they were ignorant men. They were uneducated. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they realized that these men were uneducated and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what, you trust Christ as your Savior, and you have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, educated or uneducated, you are going to have a glow, a sense about you that you have been with Jesus Christ. I'm all for education. But I'll tell you what is more valuable than education is a close relationship with Christ. And that's what these men had. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, that they said led up to 1 million people to Christ as he did revivals across America, they say butchered the English language, was uneducated, untrained. D.L. Moody had a fifth or sixth grade education, and he shook America and he shook Europe. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher from London, never went to college. It is amazing that God takes uneducated or weak, what would seemingly be weak in the world's eyes, weak people, and raises them up to do great things. The Bible says Jesus saluted the woman who gave the widow's mite. Moses took a rod, seemingly a harmless instrument, took a rod and split the Red Sea. The little boy had a few loaves of bread and two fish, and they fed the multitudes. Christ has the power, the authority to take seemingly weak or minor or little things and mightily use him. Now watch this. I think this is important. Verse 29 says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, Billy Sunday didn't glory in his great ability, his great talent, his great education, because he was uneducated. He didn't have any reason to glory in his flesh. Moses couldn't glory in his flesh. God took a rod, and when Moses had the rod and he put it forward, split the Red Sea, or water came out of the rock, that no man could glory in the flesh. And you know, that's where we are, I think, today. Our tendency is, wow, I mean, he's a great orator, or he's brilliant, or he's really powerful. He can do these different things. God doesn't want us to glory in the flesh, but to glory in God. Go back to verse 27. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Moses came out of Egypt and he tended sheep for 40 years in the wilderness before, at age 80, God raised him up to deliver Israel out of Egypt. You can bet after 39 years in the wilderness, Moses was not glorying in the flesh. I would think he felt as if it certainly wasn't by his power that anything great and mighty was going to take place. But then God used him. The Apostle Paul says in Corinthians that he was given a thorn in the flesh, that he would not glory in his own flesh, that he would not be puffed up in himself. He would glory in Jesus Christ. One of the best things that has ever happened to me in my entire life is the day that I was diagnosed with leukemia. I guess this is in God's hands now. Do not glory in the flesh. God will have a way to humble us and get us to the place where we can be used by God and not glory in our abilities or in our flesh. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glorieth in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And we are here because he has given us a hope, and he has promised us that he is going to return. Christ will return again.